Hello, Cincinnati! Welcome to episode 7 of our podcast. This week's episode was recorded in Chicago at Industry Ale's Brew Pub with our good friend Graham Ashcraft. You know what? If you're watching the video version of this podcast, you will get to see some of the delicious food we tried at Industry Ale's. And let me tell you something, people. That place is a hammer for good beer and good food. So, topics this week. We're going to give a little bit of secrets from Graham and I on how to cook a great steak at home. We're going to talk about betting on the game of baseball, how that translates into comments into social media, and how those comments affect the players. Then we're going to talk a little bit about five-day routine of an MLB starting pitcher such as Graham. We get into a hunting bet that Graham and I made ourselves. And let me tell you something, whoever loses that bet is going to be really cold. So stay tuned for that one this fall. That's going to be interesting. Then we're going to try a little bit of the food like we said. And Graham's got a couple of really cool trivia questions for us. So we have all that and more coming straight at you. So how about that, Red Legs fans? What do you say we get this thing started? I just sold out to the perfect condition. Coming alive. Whoa, 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 whoa. Heat of the night. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now is the time. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't try to hide. Gotta ask, how was dinner last night?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to beat going and getting a Wagyu steak, you know?
Yep. Have you been to RPM before that?
I think I might have been with one of the guys. I'm not 100% sure. I just remember a couple of, like, the appetizers, like the bacon that we had. Like, I remember the thick-cut bacon. I've had somewhere. I just can't remember where.
What about the IO and Trigger? Those guys aren't cool at all, are they?
I don't see myself going back there, you know? No, there's some great guys. I enjoyed it there. They treated us right, you know, and I look forward to taking some of the guys and taking them to experience it and getting spread that connection a little bit.
While we're at it, you guys were in L.A. You were pitching, got brought up on the broadcast. You said you'd rather cook a steak at your house. What's the secret to your steak?
You know, it depends on what I'm cooking, but there's really not much. It's either a dry rub or just some of that flaky salt. I mean, I feel like that's all there is to it. There's nothing really much. I just think they can just get a little bit better cut of meat at home than at some restaurants.
And how about the way you cook it? Do you use a specific type of grill or?
Yeah, you know, I'd put it on the Traeger. I cook it till the internal temp's about 120, 125 and pull it off and sear it on my Blackstone.
Wait a minute. So you do it 120, 125 at home. You had us do it 110, 115 last night.
It's Wagyu. That's different than a normal cut of steak.
It is different than a normal cut of steak.
Yeah, it is.
I will agree with that.
You see me use that brand Hardcore Carnivore?
Yeah, yeah.
So I like that one, and I pretty much do straight green egg, and I use the just keep flipping method. You ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah. That's what you told me to do with my big Wagyu
tomahawk.
Yeah,
you get that high heat, and you just flip that steak every 30 to 60 seconds, and you get that nice sear and crispiness on the outside, and then that perfect medium rare to rare on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
That's my way to do it, so...
I mean, I did text you about how to cook it, so.
Yeah. Baseball, what do you got for us, Big Papa?
Well, baseball, I was just wondering, you know, we've had discussions before. I've heard players in the NCAA basketball tournament talk about it. But, you know, what impact does social media have on players? Because I know sometimes there's, if you don't throw the perfect game, there's always commentary that is not the most positive. Do you see it increasing in the short time you've been in the big leagues?
I mean, I feel like with the betting on baseball, like, starting to spread more and people are getting more involved in it and on the gambling side of it, I feel like there's a lot more stuff coming out towards us. People are betting on you on strikeouts or the over-under on the score, you know, and somebody puts a $10 bet down and they don't get it. It's the end of the world, and they come at you for it instead of thinking, oh, well, I just got unlucky. But, you know, the game's not easy. People don't understand that, and it's part of it. You know, we're in this game. It's our lives, and, you know, if people want to bet on it, great. But at the end of the day, when it doesn't go their way, they take it out on us instead of thinking, you know, it just wasn't the day.
And I think a lot of those people don't realize that when they're doing their job, they don't have people getting online when they have maybe not even a bad day, but not the day that they had hoped for. And, you know, getting static from many different directions, and it's got to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of it. It's always been part of the game. I mean, the betting side might not have been there as long, but there's always the big hardcore fans, you know, that would get after some people about stuff. But it's part of it at the end of the day. You know, it's something we have to live with and we have to deal with. And there's a lot. I mean, there's more and more guys that are starting to get off social media or just having their wives take over it and do their posting and stuff like that, just because a lot of guys just don't want to see what people have to say towards them about stuff. And
I'd be curious to know if the reliever from the Mets, after he threw his glove in the stands the other night, got any feedback on social media about his actions.
Yeah, yeah, that was an interesting one right there.
You've seen the ESPN 30 for 30 The U, right?
Oh, yeah.
You ever heard about those guys talk about when they were in high school down in Miami and all the gangsters and everything and be betting on the games? And it'd be like right before the game, they'd be telling these high school kids like, hey, man, you better not mess up today. I got a lot of money riding on the line. Imagine you're in high school and a gangster's telling you this. You're like, I'm going to get my butt whooped after this game if I don't perform well. Like, that's like extreme, dude. That's where I think a lot of that started. That's before there was all online stuff. But you have a gangster telling you that in Miami? Ooh, not me, son. Not me.
I think what makes it more challenging now, though, is they're not just betting on the outcome of the game. It's the prop bets that go along with it.
Yeah, the strikeouts, the home runs, the errors, all that stuff. I mean, they can literally bet pitch to pitch on what we're going to do. They can bet on the velocity of the pitch that we're going to throw to start the game out. I mean,
well, and they even it's part of the TV programming before the game. Mm-hmm. They have the three prop bet before every game.
Mm-hmm. So MLB so far, we're through 2 months. Who's your biggest surprise as a team as far as performing well, or an individual performing well or not performing so well?
You know, honestly, I would say the team that's kind of, has at least surprised me has been Oakland. I mean, they last year didn't really have that hot of a season, and this year they came out and they've come out and made a statement, and they're playing some really good ball. Other than that, the other stuff, like, you know, besides the guys that are on my team, like, I don't really pay attention to other people just because
I figured that'd pretty much be your answer.
Like, I'm locked in on what I'm doing day to day, not on what other people are doing, you know.
Well, and that's what you should be doing. How about you?
Well, I could go in a couple different directions, but I guess I'm just impressed with not the winning, but the winning percentage that Philadelphia Phillies have put up thus far. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the Reds took the series against them when they played.
Yeah, we took 4 out of the 6 from them.
All right, I guess I'll be the negative Nancy. Bad performances, Blake Snell. His ERA is like 10.5 right now. I guess there was a quote he said the other day. He's like, well, I didn't really face an MLB hitter until the season started.
When all that stuff happened, when he didn't sign his first initial deal.
Contract deal.
Yeah, that stuff came in late. I mean, I think it was the last like week or two in spring that he signed with San Francisco. You go out and you only have one start in spring. Like it affects a lot because, I mean, you're not having that month and a half to really like get ready and pitch in games to kind of get dialed in. So
I'd be curious. I mean, you pitch every fifth day. Listening to you talk and others, it sounds like you have to get to the park about 4 hours ahead of time. So what's the routine? How does the routine differ on game day, which for you was yesterday, versus the other 4 days?
So I'll start it off on day one, like post after start. So I normally lift twice a week. I like to do total body, so I go in. Like today I'll go in. I'll do lower body, upper body. I'll condition. I'll get some soft tissue work done to kind of get some lactic acid moved out of my arm and stuff to kind of help the recovery process push along quicker. And then day two is normally a bullpen day for me. So it's coming in, getting warmed up, getting on the bike, getting heat on the shoulder, elbow, back, wherever, getting in the hot tub, go throw the bullpen, come in, do my recovery process of arm care and stuff, get on the bike, do some bike sprints. And then day three, another lift day, different lift than the first day, but still total where I'm doing lower and upper, and condition, play catch. Day four is kind of normally my light day to where I'm just kind of taking it easy. Light catch, get on the bike for 10-15 minutes. And then on my start day, similar to the bullpen day, but a little bit more activation. I do a little bit more like Pilates stretching, yoga, do some stuff to kind of get everything activated and firing. and then I'll go out. And my process normally starts about 2 hours to an hour and 45 minutes before the game. So that way I'm out there roughly 40 to 30 minutes before to start playing catch.
Wait a minute. You said you're not into the, like, six-pack diet thing and stuff, but you're doing Pilates?
I do Pilates. I do yoga. I do Pilates about 3 to 4 times a week. I do yoga at least once a week.
That's how you strengthen that core.
I mean, between core and mobility, I mean, that's some of the biggest things.
I was listening to Shaq the other day. Shaq has a podcast, and he was talking about the fact that when he got into the NBA, all of a sudden he was playing against a couple of the guys that were his idols. Are there any, I guess, players that when you were watching baseball growing up and you got here, you were welcoming the opportunity to face them to see how you could do against them?
It's not really like a starstruck moment. It's more like it's challenge time. Like, all right, I want to see where I'm at. I want to see how good I am. I want to see how good these guys are.
That has to be a pretty cool moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially like I've pitched pretty well against Otani and Trout. I've faced Pujols. I thought I was about to be one of those however many pitchers he has added to that list, but it hit the wall luckily. So,
okay, well, I'm guessing you're referring to a home run. So speaking of home runs, y'all changed your home run celebration. We don't need to know what it is. I have one simple question about it. Is superstition the reason why y'all went away with the Viking tradition and then did the
let's just say the new tradition.
Yeah, the new tradition.
That was just one of the things that it just got timed where there a couple of the vet guys were like, I think we need to change some things up and just kind of create a little bit more life for everybody and kind of get everyone involved. And so we switched it up to what we're doing now. And, I mean, it's pretty fun when guys hit home runs.
Say no more. We'll leave it at that.
That's part of the games, having fun.
Yeah.
Makes it a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Y'all are playing the Cubs. I told you about the wife beater bet, didn't I? Dodgers at Reds.
Oh, yeah.
If they sweep, Berman said he's got to wear a wife beater on one of the podcasts. Well, we roped Berman into it, and we said if y'all sweep the Cubs, he's got to wear one of his wife's Kentucky Derby-style hats on a podcast. So, speaking of bets.
I think you can guess where we got that idea.
Yeah. Speaking of bets, you proposed a bet the other day, and what was it?
It was that we had a buck on camera at Joel's farm last year, and he was a giant, and we think that he's already got his horns growing way farther than any other buck out there right now. And so me and you made a little bet. We got a bet on the size, whether he gets killed or we got to bring in some outside sources for scoring.
Yep.
And the loser has to jump in the koi pond at Joel's farm. And the winter during deer camp.
Yeah, it's going to be a wee bit cold. No wetsuits allowed. And so y'all know, like, deer, they grow their antlers, like, starting in April, and it goes all the way through July. Then at end of July, it's actually the fastest growing tissue on planet Earth. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then at the end of July, those antlers that are in velvet, they start to harden into the bone. And then at the end of August, beginning of September, is when they start rubbing and they pull that velvet off. That's when you see the white bone-looking horns. So for the deer to be that big this early, it's the only deer I can think of is the buck from last year.
I think
it's massive. Like, that's going to be a big deer.
So when you say big deer, let's hear the predictions.
Oh, yeah, we got to do this. So this is like, you know, they do the way too early predictions for, like, the NFL or whatever. This is the way too early prediction deer hunting style. You going first or am I?
I think I want to hear yours first because you already kind of know my rough estimate. Question is he going to go below or over?
I think I'm going to have to go below. And here's the reason why.
I got a rebuttal for your reason why if you're going below.
If it's the same deer, I'm going to say he's 178. Eight because he's not a super wide deer, so you lose a little bit of inches on that spread.
Yeah, but Jay and Boykin both said that thing was at least 170 plus last year.
No, they said 160.
I thought Jay was saying he was close to 170 last year.
I think that was me. I don't know. He's going to be close to 180 regardless. I guess at this point, since I said 178, What's your number?
I was going to go 183.
Well, I guess we're pretty much over under 180, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Bet is on. And what are the consequences bestowed upon the loser?
Has to jump in the koi pond at deer camp.
Full submerged, cold plunge. Oh, I told him not jump, though, because it's only 2 feet
slide
deep.
Slide in.
Oh, I wouldn't slide in either. I don't know what's there could be some metal buried in there from an old house. We don't need to go to the hospital. I'm going to walk in and then lay down if I lose. That's what I'm doing. I don't need any hospital trips. I'm good.
This has to be filmed.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, it's going to be so cold. You need like 10 blankets to wrap up in when you're done with that.
Speaking of cold, what is it that you do to keep warm when you're on the stand on those cold winter days?
Hopefully I have enough clothes, whether on or in my bag.
So no hot liquids, no hot meals.
I mean, occasionally, this is more so duck hunting than deer hunting. I will, when I'm duck hunting, I will have my jet boiler with me and have some freezer dried camp meals. And Clayton's tried it.
Oh, it's good, but I'm not dragging it to the deer stand with me. I'm going to keep it simple. I like Lunchables. Just be like a little kid. You take some Lunchables, take a Reese's Big Cup, maybe some beef jerky. You get one water, one Coke, and then you just last all day.
I'll stick with my peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah, you will.
Deer love peanut butter.
So should I go ahead and ask my question before the food gets here?
Yes, you should ask your question.
So what team and the MLB, do y'all think has the best private charter jet?
Best?
Ooh, we're going to also get some answers jet. Or guesses from the audience here on this one. Best charter jet, what team in the MLB?
We want to hear it from
MLB.
Marlins.
You think the Marlins?
I'm thinking the Marlins.
Okay.
Well, it's going to be a surprise. So it's got to be someone that's typically considered low in the pecking order or small market.
And the only reason I know this is from guys that have came from other teams. So.
Oakland.
Okay.
Guardians.
Guardians?
Guardians.
All right, Matt's going with Guardians.
I don't know why, but I'm going to Twins.
San Diego.
Are any of those right?
There is one that's right, yeah.
Okay, so then we can't do another round. I think I'm the one that's right.
It's Oakland.
Ah, I knew
it. It's Oakland.
Sam Maul. That's why I said it. You said you heard from another guy. I was like, it's Sam Maul.
They get Mark Cuban's plane that the Mavs fly on.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it.
Oh, wow. Do you know at one of their games the other day, the attendance was lower than the attendance at their AAA affiliate that day?
It doesn't surprise me. And it's so sad because like Frankie Montas, he played in Oakland for 5 or 6 years, and like he was a part of the team that they went to the playoffs like 2 or 3 years in a row. And he said like that stadium, he's like he's never been to a stadium that's been that fun to be at in the postseason, other than like besides there, because they all have so many seats there. And, like, all the covers that are in center field, he said those were taken off and the seats were filled. He's like, there's almost 100,000 people there to watch in the playoffs. And so he was like, the atmosphere there, he was like, it's unbelievable.
Did you see, it was a couple years ago, did you see where Marshawn Lynch went into the courtroom, Marshawn Lynch style, wearing a hoodie and a backpack? It was a hearing about moving the team out of Oakland. And he's like, come on, man. Y'all already took the Raiders from us. Now you're going to take the A's, too? This is crap. We need to keep the A's in Oakland. But that's a Marshawn Lynch thing. I don't know who else would show up in a courtroom in a hoodie and a backpack to present his case.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a limited number of people that would do that. But he's clearly one.
All right, here's one for you. Think about it. You're a game warden, or we'll call it boat patrol for the sheriff's office in Florida. How do you like that job dealing with all the hashtag Florida man?
It's like all the people that are going out fishing or the boat patrols out there, and they're finding all those barrels that are full of cocaine that are just floating around all over the place out there.
Oh, dude, I've heard some wild stories from some of those fishing captains. Like, dude, some of that stuff's nuts, man. So speaking of game wardens and fishing, he and I went fishing with Chris Britton last summer. We went mutton snapper fishing. and it was 4th of July, so the boats are sitting inside, the sheriff's boats are sitting inside the inlet to check the ice box as you're coming in. They want to make sure you're not taking home illegal fish. And they're like, hey, do you mind if we, you guys got anything in the box? I'm like, yeah. They go, do you mind if we measure? And my buddy Chris goes, yeah, but you don't need to really, trust me. He goes, well, for formality purposes, we have to. Do you mind if we board? We're like, sure, go ahead. Dude opens the box, looks over to his partner in their boat, and he goes, oh my God, you should see the size of these mutton snapper.
Are they too small or too big?
No, they're too huge.
They were big. They were big.
You don't get to hear me say that often.
All right, well, Mr. I like eating while I'm hunting. Look what we got coming right here. What do you got for us here?
So we have our Cajun sticky wings.
Those are quite the wings.
And then our smash burger.
Wow.
Our little fun adult pizza pocket samosas.
Look at that.
You ever had a samosa before?
Mm-mm.
Oh, they're good.
I have not either.
Really?
So it's just like a homemade pizza pocket?
Basically, homemade pizza pocket. They're completely vegan, minus the cheese on top, obviously, but mushrooms and a bunch of great flavors on the inside.
So wait a minute, do you market it as vegan then, even though it's got the cheese? You should say there's a vegan option. Yeah. You just ditch the cheese.
It's got a spicy arrabbiata sauce inside, which really adds to the savoriness of it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. The Cajun sauce is not super spicy, but it lets you know it's there.
Perfect.
It's right up your alley, boys.
There we go. Right. Where are y'all starting with?
Let's do the burger. Burger. Oh, it's got mushroom in here.
Dipping in this ketchup.
Yeah, I'd rather have this than your biscuits and gravy in the deer stand. Definitely gonna go with that.
Hey, keep talking that ish. I'm not bringing my Blackstone this next deer camp.
Well, hopefully we have an egg by then.
That's pretty good.
Of course, gotta have Saratoga chips. How many different ways can you fry a potato?
Too freaking many.
I mean, I'm not complaining. What's next, the samosa or the wing?
I think we got to save that wing for last.
Oh, the messy one? That's a good idea. Oh, yeah, that's good. Per usual, I'm the quickest eater at the table.
Oh, no, your dad had us beat last night. Oh, he packed his plate pretty full, and it was pretty gone pretty quick.
I do eat quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that?
There were five of us in the family growing up. I was the fourth of the five. But the oldest one also was the largest and had the greatest appetite. And we quickly learned that if ever you wanted seconds, you had to be the fastest to eat. Because once he finished his first round, he was taking the rest.
Including stealing everyone's school lunch during a fire drill, from what I'm told. Well, there you go. Might as well tell that story now.
I got to hear it.
So he's a pretty good football player, unlike myself. And so my parents were watching him play one day and at a game and heard some of the parents complaining that their kids, who also played on the team, didn't get lunch that day because there was a fire drill. I don't know if it was an actual fire or just a drill, but while everybody was outside, he stayed inside in the cafeteria and ate as many lunches as he could possibly down. And I would assume he started with the guys he knew on the football team that were sitting with him. So there you go.
I don't think ever in my life that I think that I could crush more than like one lunch.
Oh, when I was in high school, I used to have contests. I worked at a motorcycle shop, so they used to see how much I could eat. I had two large pizzas once. I had three whole chickens once. Back in the day, I could crush it.
I'm surprised you're not 300 pounds. If you're eating like that.
Well, I changed my ways.
It's all that walking up and down those stinking mountains at the farm going hunting every day.
Yeah, except
You got toted around with the valet service.
So did you.
Well, we're already that deep. Might as well.
You're going to have to walk this year.
I'm at the other farm. Y'all won't see me. If y'all told me I had to walk from the barn all the way back there to those stands at Berman's or Hargett's, mm-hmm. I think I'd stop about halfway and sit in the field, wait for someone to walk out.
You're better.
It's not that bad.
Well, see, you're like a double cheater. I'm going to take my Jet Boy with me. I'm going to have biscuits and gravy in the stand. You know what? Now, on second thought, it's too far of a walk. I might not make it. Might just sit myself down next to a tree.
Am I allowed to start on the wing?
Oh, yeah.
That rubs real good. He put half of it on his face.
Look, man, after doing food photography and videography, there is no clean way to do it, so you might as well just eat. Like, when you take still photos of people eating, you usually get one of these faces, like, it just looks so awkward every time. You just get to the point where it's like, whatever.
I'm going to need the recording shooting from that front camera right there, okay?
I'll give you a screenshot. How about that?
That'll be what will pop up when you call me.
Here's a topic for you while we're eating this delicious food. You always find people that want to complain about how much professional athletes get paid. First off, I say, well, if you were that good at a sport and someone's going to offer you tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars, are you going to say no, or are you going to tell them, are you going to say yes, or are you going to tell them, no, that's too much, I only need this much money, right? Like, every person is going to say, yeah, let's max it out.
Yeah.
Number two, if you want to complain about that, you got to remember, you're the one feeding the funds for that, going to the ball games, buying 12 $10 beers and all the snacks, all the apparel.
The subscriptions.
Yeah, the subscriptions. If you want to cut back on what professional athletes make, then don't support the team. But guess what? You support the team because you love the sport and you love the team. So just get over it. It's a fact of life. You're not going to deny that money if they give it to you when you're in that person's shoes.
Well, it's also like people, like speaking from the money side of sports, like people always talk like the Caitlin Clark thing. Like, well, why is she only getting $300,000 for like her signing bonus? Well, people don't realize, like, baseball, the reason we get so much money, game's been around over 150 years. Like in MLB, like the MLB's been around for 150 years plus.
Hadn't been around as long as the NBA.
Yeah.
How long did it take them to establish their brand? And in the NBA, I mean, they weren't making that much money 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sign of good chicken wings right there. If it ain't messy and it's wings, it probably ain't that good.
Would you enjoy the most of the three?
That's hard to say. They're like, it's three different categories to me. Like, so
like the homemade hot pocket.
Hot pocket, like, samosa.
It's a what?
It's a samosa.
Samosa. Like, I thought that was really good, but then like the burger and wings, it's like you're saying, it's three different things.
Yeah, your apples to oranges on this.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. There was nothing just okay or bad. It was all great.
Oh, it was all great.
Well, I see you're wearing the shin hat, so speaking of ducks, how many good days did you have this year? How many birds did you get?
Ended up with about, I want to say it was like right around like 85 or 86 total. That was a part of killing. And Hank retrieved about 50 of them.
Well, there you go. There was my next question. How many did Hank get?
He got. I'd say he got around like 54, 55. He got a good chunk of them in there.
And he was happier than a pig in slop, wasn't
he? Oh, he loved it. We were hunting in rice fields, and he loves the rice fields. It's shallow, so he doesn't have to worry about swimming. He can just run for days, and he loves it. Dude, I had one of the funniest experiences this past duck season with Hank. We were in Arkansas. There was about five other guys from the club in the pit with us, and there were some speckle belly goose flying. So we had this one come in. One of the guys shot it, stoned it. It goes helicoptering down, and Hank is, I mean, chomping at the bit to go after this. He gets about 5 feet from it, puts the brakes on, and jumps backwards up out of the water and starts barking at this thing, because I don't think he realized that how big this freaking bird was. He was like, what is this pterodactyl thing I'm about to grab out of the water right here?
He looked like a cat jumping up all.
Oh, I mean, he completely, like, he cleared the water by like 2 feet when he jumped backwards. It was crazy.
Let's round out this outdoor segment here. Fishing. You want to go catch some giant bluegill in Cincy in a farm pond? Well, I don't know if it's a farm pond, but it's a pond. I mean, I'm like talking like Coastal World.
You've shown me those ones that are like 2 pound bluegill.
Yeah,
you. I mean, that'd be hard to pass up. Get some lightweight rods out there.
All right, I'll set it up. Which leads me to my next thing. It's not really a question. Just make sure you don't do what I did in Canada last year.
Did you get a hook in your finger?
Yeah, you remember that? That picture I sent you? It was the first day. We're out in the middle of nowhere, Canada. It's late in the day, first day. Fished all my life. I don't know how I did it. Thank God it was a new hook, so I didn't have to worry about rust or anything. Got the hook right here in my thumb. We didn't know what to do. Everyone in our party, there's like 12 of us, are all older dudes. I've been drinking beer all afternoon. Let me see it. Oh, just rip it out with pliers. Do this to them. Like, if you rip it out with pliers and it goes wrong, I ain't close enough to a hospital to go get this fixed. Then the night's really going to suck. So, no internet, but I remembered the braid trick. You know the braid trick for getting hook out of your finger?
My dad used it on one of his buddies the other day.
So I'm doing it straight off of guessing memory from watching it in the past.
Pulling a treble hook from a young man's finger.
All right, now my angle's good?
As hard as you can on three. One, two, three. Ow!
Oh, motherfucker.
I tell you what, man, that trick works. It hurts less coming out than it does going in.
That's what my dad had a buddy that he took fishing, and he was grabbing his rods out of the car, similar thing to you, except it went in his pointer finger. And he was like, I'm not going to the hospital to get it taken out. He's like, I'm ready to fish. So my dad goes, all right. And he's like, I've seen the braid trick. Let me try it. Did it, popped it right out, and they were gone fishing in about 5 minutes.
The only thing you get in trouble is, I guess, if it like would get into the bone some, but mine wasn't.
Yeah.
All right, lightning round.
Lightning round.
Not Berman style. We don't need paragraphs. It's one word or one sentence answers.
We've done this one before. Cut of steak.
Ribeye.
I'm with him. I'm going to go ribeye.
Favorite Pop-Tart?
Strawberry.
Brown sugar cinnamon.
Sauce or dry rub?
On what?
Yeah.
Ribs.
Ribs. I dry rub it and then I put sauce on it. It's not one or the other. It's both for me.
Commercial flight. Aisle or window?
Window.
I like aisle.
Sweet tea or unsweet tea?
Sweet tea.
Unsweet.
Coke or Pepsi?
Depends on the day.
Coke Zero.
White Christmas or warm Christmas?
White Christmas all day.
Yeah, is that a question or a statement?
You live in Florida. I don't think you can have a say in that.
Yeah, I can because I grew up in Cincinnati.
Favorite classic movie?
Sandlot.
You're killing me, Smalls.
My cousin Vinny.
What is your superpower off the field?
The beaver tail.
The beaver tail. God, that's a good one. I don't know. I'd like to say shooting my bow. I feel pretty confident with my bow that I can anywhere out to about 80 to 90 yards, I can hit a good.
Now, as you think of your teammates, who's the dog on the Reds team?
In what way? Like a guy that goes and gets after it? Or the guy that just kind of sits back and follows everyone?
Gets after it. He's the dog.
It's a mix between TJ Friedel and Stuart Fairchild.
And they play the same position. And they're both very good.
Who on the team has the best hair?
Best hair.
Present company excluded. You got a wide variety there.
I don't look at anybody's hair and be like, damn,
you see
them
every day.
Like, that's a good hairstyle, bud.
That's a good hairstyle, bud.
So you don't want locks, dreadlocks like Ellie?
Nah, I'm all right.
Okay.
Well, that one's eliminated from the roster.
Who's the team comedian?
Martini. Nick Martini.
Who's best dressed?
I would say that's a mix between Nick Martinez and Luke Maley.
I had a feeling you were going to say Luke.
Who on the team would be a future coach?
I feel like Jake Fraley or Abbott. Abbott for the pitching side, Fraley from like the position player side maybe. Or maybe Steve-O.
It's not uncommon for catchers to turn into coaches.
Yeah.
Who would be a future CEO?
Future CEO? None of them.
All right. Okay.
None of them. All right. I got one. Kill a 200-plus inch deer or have the best duck hunting day of your life. What you picking?
200 mallards, 200 inch buck.
What's a bigger rarity? How about that? Answer it based on that.
I would have to go deer.
The mallards is more of a you're having fun all day. Deer is more like such high level excitement because it's.
I'd jump out of a freaking stand if I shot a 200 inch deer.
Oh, don't do that.
I'd have my safety harness on, so I'd stop, but I'd still jump.
We'd be climbing up to cut you down.
All right, boys. Well, have fun with the game today.
Appreciate it, fellas. Appreciate y'all coming out.
Thanks again.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the podcast. We had a lot of fun with Graham at Industry Ale's Brew Pub. Coming down the line the next few weeks to a month, we'll have another episode that we recorded at Industry Ale's with one of the co-founders, Matt. We're going to have Berman on to talk about compensation in pro sports, whether it's for the athletes or the coaches. And we're talking about all pro sports, not just baseball. There's a chance we may have Tyler Stevenson on for an episode. And we're also going to talk about the All-Star Game. Now, not necessarily the game itself, but more so the players selected to be the starters and on the roster in general. So we got a lot of fun coming at you. And with that being said, whatever, whatever. We'll see y'all later.